Good morning, Gamecock fans. It's Friday, January 16th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you that were at Colonial Life Arena last night, quite a win for the Gamecock women's basketball team, 68-65 over fourth-ranked Texas, avenging their only loss of the season. I have a feeling this is not the last time South Carolina will play Texas in the sport. I forgive me. I haven't looked at the schedule. They may have a home and home. I don't think they do, but heck, maybe. But they've already played a non-conference. Last year, they played four times, including the Final Four. So we'll see kind of how that unfolds all season.
Yeah, so I checked. So that's it. So that's the last scheduled game between Texas and South Carolina. So I do have a I wanted to double check on that because I didn't want to make a fact error. It's been happening far too often this week, but they'll play again, possibly, most likely in Greenville. Women's basketball sometimes is kind of predictable when it comes to tournaments. The higher seeds way more often than not advance, and then we'll see if they play again in the tournament. So it's a big win for the Gamecocks, and hats off to the fams and the fans that showed up and packed Colonial Life Arena last night. A lot of people around the country were buzzing about it. And that just kind of shows you what kind of atmosphere Gamecock fans create for big games, right? They show up. That's who the fan base is. And it looked fantastic. So hats off to Dawn Staley and her team for winning. That's what they do, is win. They show up and win. Very resilient win as well. Texas has a good women's basketball team this year, so it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens moving forward. Gamecocks got some great football news right before tip last night. Caleb Herring, defensive end from Tennessee, went ahead and shut it down. So I was told that they wanted to do everything they could to get it done while he was on campus. And so he would not visit Texas, and they worked out a deal. And he is a guy that solidifies the edge room. In other news, Desmond Umezulu gets in the portal right after that happens. So I don't know. We'll talk about Des here in a second. But so what does Caleb Herring bring to the table? And I've said this briefly or gotten into it a little bit. He's a guy that's played in over 35 SEC football or football games for an SEC program. The number one prospect in Tennessee, out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's got some ties to Georgia as well. I think he's a native of Georgia. He's gained 45 pounds since going and being listed at 205 heading in. They thought he was kind of a in Tennessee's old defense, they had a position called a Leo, which was a hybrid linebacker in. They ran a lot of three-man front. So he stood up some, put his hand in the dirt some. South Carolina will use that sometimes. And so out of the odd front, he was used as a pass rusher and a guy that could play in space. I think that the best way to describe him is that he's flashed through the years. Probably has not been as consistent, but Tennessee's had a lot of good pass rushers. Hale mentioned that on the morning show yesterday in his segment, which you can hear on our YouTube channel, cut up in its entirety if you go to our YouTube channel, Chief Sports South Carolina. And so, you kind of look at it, and what was it? Was it that he was just as good as the others and rotated, and so everybody sort of flashed at different times? Was he less consistent? I think he needs some more consistency, to be honest. But when you look at sort of how South Carolina on the defensive line has gotten guys. Now, there's a new defensive ends coach, Deion Barnes. He comes with a great resume and a proven track record of development. But there is a new coach, so you can't give him credit for Sterling Lucas's work. But you can give him credit for Deion Barnes' work at Penn State, right? Abdul Carter comes to mind. But it's one of those things where, South Carolina kind of has a track record. Kyle Kennard's the first guy that comes to mind. If they can get half the production that Kyle Kennard had statistically, and I don't know that he's as good against the run as Kyle, but I didn't know Kyle was as good against the run when he got to South Carolina. So that we'll see how that shakes out. But pass rushing ability wise, he's up there. And you see how they maximized Kyle Kennard. I think they were well on their way to maximizing George Wilson, who will be back next year, injured last year with a knee, but we'll see if he can rehab and be himself. But based on spring or fall practice reports, because he came in late, they really thought he was going to help. That was kind of a blow to the pass rush that he did not. I don't know that we can count that because we haven't seen him on the field. But there's a kind of a track record there of maximizing guys, especially when you start looking inside too. And there's another guy at edge, Kelby Collins, who can kind of go back and forth, a bigger edge that played some at Alabama. These guys, Collins and Herring, are not like Gabriel Brownlow Dindy and Monkel Goodwine, who rarely played at all at Texas A&M and Alabama. Kelby was in the rotation. He made a play in the Rose Bowl, I think, the SEC championships. Yeah, or I mean, Oklahoma game. I'm sorry, first round game against Oklahoma. I saw a couple of clips. I felt like he got a sack in that one. Caleb Herring made plays for Tennessee. He's played in 36 games. So these guys are actually a little more experienced than a Brownlow Dindy, who was just kind of potential, or Monkel Goodwine, both really good players that Carolina gets in here and needs to maximize. You could throw Jordan Thomas, the defensive tackle from Georgia that they got, into that mix. Now, he's one that hasn't, he's like Brownlow Dindy. He's much younger. I think he's going to be a redshirt sophomore. But, Carolina does have a track record under Shane Beamer, Clayton White, with defensive players that have come in and have not done a whole lot at their old school, but they had that potential coming out of high school, and they've maximized it. I mean, I think they got everything they possibly could out of Monkel Goodwin. And I think he could end up being a sneaky guy, maybe an undrafted free agent that makes a roster. He came to, was a top 100 recruit, went to Alabama, never played, comes to South Carolina, and he's making a lot of plays against Alabama in that game this past year, and made plays all year for South Carolina and got better and better doing it. And that's development. That's short-term development. In 2024 was kind of the secret sauce. Nobody predicted Demetrius Knight and Kyle Kennard would have those kinds of seasons. No, I don't think anybody predicted Torricelli Simpkins would not get drafted, but be on an NFL roster all year and play pretty solid, although inconsistent, like most of them on the offensive line. So the way, I mean, even Rocket Sanders, and I don't know how much development took place there. I think the development took place in the rehab process with the strength staff to get him healthy and ready to roll. But Rocket Sanders, only rushed for about 200 yards. He was hurt half the year at Arkansas, a lot of issues there. And he came and had his best season. So, there is a track record there program wide, but this is a focus on the D line. So I think it's very important to for Deion Barnes back to edge specifically to get the most out of Kelby Collins, to get the most out of Caleb Herring. And then the younger guys, Dodd, Addison, Julian Walker, all of those players are players that need to be part of the rotation next year, along with Dylan Stewart, and I think Dylan Stewart's probably the happiest guy in the program right now about this because, Kelby Collins would have been fine, but this gives you another pass rusher, like a true, like not a guy that's going to slide back and forth, but a true edge with SEC experience and elite pass rushing ability. I'm not calling Caleb Herring an elite pass rusher right now because he hasn't proven that. But he has that ability to be that. So there's work to be done, but this staff has proven that they can do it. They can get the most out of, more times than not, get the most out of guys that hadn't done much at their previous, come from, brand name schools that come in and they get them going. Not that Georgia Tech is some big brand name school in the case of Kennard, but they've also gotten to get Demetrius Knight going. He came from Charlotte, so this was big. They needed another guy that was experienced and older because you looked at it and you do have George Wilson sitting there, but coming off of a knee injury, you got to be cautious with that. And then it's a bunch of youth, besides Kelby Collins and Drew Collins. Drew Collins, his brother, is younger too, that came from Arkansas State. So yeah, they got a pretty good group. I believe that that probably encouraged, not the staff. The staff didn't encourage this, but probably Desmond Umezulu looked around and said, I probably need to go someplace I can play. Sometimes it's not about money or things like that. Sometimes it's about, wow, it's going to take a lot of work for me to compete for the spot I even had last year, where he was part of the rotation. And so he got in the transfer portal. And everybody needs to wish him the best. Great kid. Chose the Gamecocks over everybody in the country. Stuck with it. He could have gotten in the portal early, with his rep out of high school and gone and gotten paid somewhere. And he didn't. He stuck with it. He worked and put himself in position to play. And then, kind of a slow moving development, no doubt, but they always knew that about him. He got very, he wasn't, didn't get a whole lot of coaching in high school and played inside some, just all upside. And then, he made some plays this year. I wouldn't say that he was, that he came into his own and reached that ceiling everybody thought that he had coming out. Maybe he doesn't have that ceiling. Some guys just don't. Some guys are overrated coming out of high school. I'm not saying that's Dez, but stuck with it, and you got to give him credit for that. I mean, I think, this would be his fourth year, a good student, all that good stuff for Dez. I mean, so you wish him the best, but my feeling is this is a lot more about football than maybe about money, which drives a lot of the other decisions. And I don't think it's any coincidence that once Caleb Herring got in the boat, you kind of look at it and it's like, well, they added, when you count Kelby Collins, three edges out of the portal, and you got guys coming back, young guys coming up. I mean, Addison and Dodd, a lot of times that second year, those players are ready to go play. And so I feel good about the group now. That was a concern of mine because there's a lot of question marks. Not that any of these guys couldn't have stepped up, but I guess you feel more comfortable when you have a guy like Caleb Herring with, 30, 40, 35, 36, 37 appearances in SEC football games, that's gone and made plays in SEC games. You feel better about that as a starting point than a young guy that's never played and things like that, especially when you're trying to win and especially when you're trying to help your All-American on the other side. Yes, Brian Thomas Jr. had a wonderful year and was active and gave it his all. You want to talk about a guy that works hard, a guy with unbelievable work ethic. But Brian Thomas Jr. didn't scare anybody, and I think that's a little overrated. I've gotten on people for saying, like, who cares if you're scared, if the other coordinator's scared. It's not that. It's not scared. Scared's probably the bad word. But guys, every coordinator on offense goes in and they scout the other team. They're not just scouting the scheme. They're scouting the players. Like, who can wreck us? And you looked at 2 years ago and you're like, well, Kennard and Stewart can wreck us. And they still paid all this attention to Stewart. And that shows you how much he, quote unquote, scares other people. But it was very problematic for a lot of teams, having to face that. Brian Thomas Jr., yes, he can hurt you if you don't block him and stuff, but it was he Kyle Kennard? I don't think anybody in their right mind would say that. And again, not that you have to have a Bronco Nagurski winner on the other side of Dylan Stewart, but you have to have somebody that goes, okay, you pay all this attention to Dylan, these guys are going to wreck you. Same goes with D tackle. And I don't think the D tackles had a bad year this year at all. Nobody was anybody TJ Sanders? No. But I think TJ Sanders was going to be impossible to replace as good as that guy. I mean, people, I don't think, I still think it even got lost on me how good TJ Sanders was. And I started thinking about it after last season. I was like, my God, this guy, you couldn't block him one-on-one. If you had a D tackle like that, you're going to have a pretty good defense. Mike Morgan always said South Carolina, the best D line in the SEC in 2024. I don't know that he's wrong. You know, when you talk about who, how do you block them? How do you scheme them up? And I think the Gamecocks are on their way to getting potentially the big P word, right? Potentially back toward that. We'll see what happens. No guarantees. I'm not making any guarantees or predictions next year. I'm going to take the Steve Spurrier approach. He always said, I use the word hopefully. Hopefully we can win. Hopefully we can do this. He didn't make a lot of declarations. My wife tells me that all the time. Don't declare anything. That's a prediction. I'm like, no, I'm not. So no declarations for me. I do think that the ingredients are there for South Carolina to have a resurgent year on the defensive line, given the track record in the program. And see, it's not just the position coach either. I have no doubt Deion Barnes is going to be able to develop guys. He did it at Penn State, can do it at South Carolina. I know Travian can, but it's also the strength program. It's also the buy-in that Shane Beamer preaches with the culture and stuff. And it's also sometimes with portal guys just getting in a better space mentally. Football players now at the college level have so many mental distractions. And unfortunately, in this game, the mental part of the game and what's in the chest and what's between the ears is paramount. You know, when you get to this level, everybody's got athleticism. Everybody's pretty good. Some are better than others, but it's a talent maximization game. There's all kinds of twisting and knots about Indiana right now. Well, you know what Indiana's doing? The raw talent level overall, because Cignetti can evaluate. I mean, their players can run and jump and tackle, and they're big. And I mean, it's insane. I read an article that said they had 16 guys that could be drafted. And then they started going on and on about how they don't have any talent. I'm like, no, that means they have talent. That means you just missed the evaluation. Or these guys that were three stars or two stars or whatever have maximized their talent. Maximized, right? And that's why you see guys that have, the actual recruiting rankings. Most of the time, you're talking about just raw talent. Yeah, they're pretty accurate coming out of high school. This guy has their projections, and those projections are terminate with the NFL draft. So, instead of taking an L, it's like, oh well, none of these guys were rated high, so they're getting every last drop out of their talent. Now they're just developing them, and they have buy-in, and they maximized it, right? And I guess that is getting every last drop out of it, but. It's not like these guys on Indiana's roster are limited. Now, Miami's also done a good job of maximizing talent this year, except for two games. So it's going to be a good game Monday night. But people talk about that, and that's what the name of the game is nowadays. And I mentioned the mental approach. There's so many distractions. All that does to a football player, if they don't aren't in the right space, and it's important for young people these days to be in the right space. I have two young people in my house. Not that I'm old. I tend to talk about myself being old. I'm 49 years old. That's not old. But it's I'm older than them. I'm in a different generation. Gen X is a different generation than the Zoomers, right? And it's important for them to be in good space. And part of that too, just in society, is the distraction. They've had phones in their hands since they were kids. They're plugged in. We had to read the encyclopedia and go to the library to gain knowledge. Maybe it, and now they're scrolling through Instagram learning. Now sometimes it's bull crap that they're learning, and that's the problem. And don't get me started on schools and stuff like that right now. But there's a lot of distractions, period. And in college football, with the money, the hype, the instant celebrity, all that good stuff, social media, the fact you can just leave if something goes wrong. There's no sticking it out if you don't want to. Sometimes guys get in situations and it's just too much. And so they need to go, and in life, it's like this. Sometimes you just need a fresh start and you get in that right space. I think that happened with Gabriel Brownlow Dindy last year. I think that there were some nagging injuries that kind of held him back from us really seeing what he could do. But I think Gabriel Brownlow did. He could have a really good year this year. And he wasn't a guy that played it kind of like Goodwin needed to kind of get his feet wet that first year. He came back, was a starter, played a bunch of snaps. I think Gabe can do it. And that's going to be good. I guess the guy was a five star, and sometimes you can see why when you see him move around at that size. But I do think that there's a chance here for the edge room and the whole defensive line to get moving. I think also, on the interior, don't forget about Aiden Harris coming in. That guy kind of gets lost. Saw a picture of him the other day. That guy looks great. He's naturally strong. If he can get up to about 285 this year, I think he's quick enough and good enough to see snaps. I mentioned Jordan Thomas earlier, and Tawia from Illinois. The more I dig into him, because honestly, with him, it's like, well, they turned this guy down and now he's been to five different schools. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I get it. That would be a red flag for me, when I'm looking at it. But when you put that out of your mind and you really kind of look at what he did at Illinois and you talk to folks up there, yeah, you got something. Again, he's another guy that's got to take that next step. But if he does, he'll go from pretty good to really good on the inside. So that's another, D tackle, that room really helped itself. And then you can always slide Kelby Collins in some, and Devontae Miles is still there. I mentioned Aiden Harris and Noah Clark's into the big guy from Durham. And so that's a nice group. I don't know that that group can suffer too many injuries, just to be honest. I don't know that's incredibly deep, but, and also I always forget about these guys. Caleb Williams and Christian Ingram will be back as well. But they're kind of unknowns. Christian really got better, played some late. Caleb was really good, and then every time he was ready to go play, he got hurt. So he's got to stay healthy. But there's a good group that Travion Robertson, when he makes his return to the practice field, has to work with. And we talk D-line all the time because it's so critical. So I think at the end of the day, South Carolina's helped itself, both at edge and at D tackle. If had they not gotten Herring, I may have been a little, you'd have to kind of project a little bit. Well, can George Wilson do this? What are they going to get out of Addison and Dodd? Do I wish Desmond Umezulu would not have left? Absolutely, because I like him. I wanted to see him succeed. And it's easier to see him succeed at South Carolina because that's what I'm paying attention to. But I get it with him. He's got one more year. He's got two, really. He could redshirt, obviously, but he's got one more year. And hey, man, if you can go someplace that has a big need and you can get on the field and play and you work and you can help yourself to the next level. So I understand that. We'll see where he ends up at the end of the day. But yeah, very good D line group, I think. Christian Clark, the running back from Texas, made it in. I think South Carolina's in really good shape. We'll see what else happens. Again, he's the young man that rushed for 105 yards on 20 carries in the Citrus Bowl. He's from Mountain Point High School in Phoenix, Arizona. Picked Texas over Oregon and I believe Oregon and somebody else out of high school. It was a big program. But anyway, Oregon was in the mix. So people like him as a running back and he'll get in the mix. I do like where the Gamecocks are with that. No guarantees again, but like where they are with that. If you care about where players come from, I don't. I've been honest with that. I don't think it matters that if you get guys from Group of Five, if you get guys from FCS, D2, if they can play, they can play. Obviously, I think depending on your needs as well, there's something to be said for guys with experience that have played S that are used to SEC football, Power Four football. But of the 18 that have committed, and if you add, if Clark does come, that would be ninth. He'd be the 19th. We won't add Clark yet because, again, no guarantees. But 13 of the 18 have come from the Power Four level. Six of the 18, a third, are from the SEC. They've come two. There's two from Purdue, And now I'm going to count Nitro Tuggle as from the SEC because he spent a year at Georgia. So he does, you can't take that experience away just because his most recent school was Purdue. But yeah, they've come two from Purdue, Nitro Tuggle and Hank Purvis, Penn State, Jabri Coleman, Alabama, Kelby Collins, Illinois, Tawia. I mentioned Nitro, Sam Dixon from Ohio State, Jacarius Peake from NC State. You have Quay-Sheed Scott from Kentucky. You have Upton Bellefonte, the kicker from Texas Tech. You have Carter Miller from UCF. UCF is a Power Four school there in the Big 12. Jordan Thomas from Georgia and Jaden Gibson from Oklahoma. So that's a little bit different, as far as some of the other classes. And some people are more comfortable with that. I don't care. I think that with the guys specifically that were, at other SEC schools and, maybe weren't starters or whatever, but they did play, or maybe they didn't, especially on the D line. I think South Carolina's got a good track record, like I said, of coaching those guys up. You have six from the lower levels. The long snapper from Western Carolina that's from Chicago, whose name I did not write down. I'm an idiot, but you can look that up on thebigspur.com, on three, or wherever you get your recruiting information. Drew Collins from Arkansas State. Seth Smith, the big tackle from Northern Arizona. Arnett from Ferris State, the swing offensive lineman. And then Poku, Rojo Poku from East Carolina. So, gosh, I like all those lower level guys. I like the long snapper. I like Drew Collins. Seth Smith is huge and old. The Ferris State offensive lineman, he's a guy that is nasty. He says he's nasty. So, and Ferris State, man, with Trinidad Chambliss, that's a hot school right now. And then a lot of folks I talked to really like Poku. He was a one of those late blooming football players, was a walk-on at East Carolina. He's now 6'6", 330. He can play tackle or guard. We'll start off at guard at Carolina. So interesting stuff there. Interesting stuff for the Gamecocks as far as that balance goes with where these guys come from. They come from Power Four, they come from lower levels. I've just heard it from too many people. They were down on the lower level guys. And it's human nature to do that. Heck, people were complaining that, oh, Kennard played in the ACC. Now, the draft numbers will tell you there's good players in the ACC. There's good players all over the place. But you look at these guys with SEC experience, and hey, that's a bonus just from an experience standpoint. Doesn't mean they're going to be good, bad, whatever. Because again, it's a talent maximization game. I will be on the morning show with JB around 9:25, 10:25, 9:25, 9:25 my time, 10:25 Eastern, first hour. He'll also have Stuart Lake. Coach Stuart Lake's going to be in. They're not going to talk baseball a whole lot today. Stuart obviously works within the University of South Carolina. And so they're going to talk some big picture stuff, stadium expansion. Rafael Esparza from Doc Sports. Be sure you check him out if you like to play the numbers on the weekend. He'll have some NFL playoff lines and Monday night's championship game. I believe Miami's a 7.5 point underdog on their home field to the mighty Hoosiers on Monday. So that's it's tempting to take Miami, right? But I took Illinois to cover against them. Illinois got beat 63-14. My friends took Oregon. They loaded up on it. They got beat 56-22. I don't know that that's, you're kind of playing with fire against that team. But it's a championship game. The prep there's pressure in the Rose Bowl and there's pressure in the Peach Bowl, right? Semifinals. Championship game, that stage, who knows? But don't I'm tempted, like I said, but I'm not. I think that's the talent guy in me going, oh, there's no, everything I just preached about, I'm like, oh no, I'm not putting my money where my mouth is if I don't take Indiana. But that 7.5, 8.5, that started at 8. That's a big number. truth be told, I think it's going to be kind of a classic game. Oh, one more thing before we get out of here. Another offensive lineman that South Carolina really likes from the 2027 class is Brady Hull. He's from Pulaski County High School in Somerset, Kentucky. 6'3", 285. Check out. I watched his film. Moves around really well. I think he's a center. Maybe a guard. Probably a center in college. Lots of offers. High three-star guy, but super athletic. 5'1 in the 40 for a 6'3", 285-pound offensive lineman that's moving. And then the 4'6 shuttle, which the shuttle measures your lateral ability and change of direction, which is important. 4'6, that's good for a 285-pounder. There's some defensive lineman that would love to have that. So I like him. I like him. He's been talking to Randy Clements, and he has set up an official visit for that third Saturday in June, which I think will be, and we'll officially announce as the wing eating contest at CB18 Bar and Grill in Five Points. My friend Jeff Cox by 90, we'll have that event again. I'll be coming down for it, obviously, with my lovely wife. Always nice to get to Columbia in June sometimes. But we'll be coming down for that, obviously, and it'll be a lot of fun. But Jeff's kicking cocky hospitality. Those folks were kicking around that idea on that weekend because those are the first two that were scheduled to visit. Maxwell Hiller, who I told you about yesterday, is the other one. So as they continue to rebuild, and they're going to need to sign some offensive linemen in 2027 because they do have quite a few that are older that will be out after the 2026 year. Probably going to get the fit, probably have to hit the portal again on offensive line next offseason. But that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. We'll see how this works and then you can go do it again if it works. Right. So just keep that on your radar. The show, Matt Anderson, will be on with us. Don't forget too, starting at 9, Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, our new co-host, Matt Smith from Sports Talk Smitty. There's two Smitties now. They're both from Spartanburg. We have a man, Deputy Smitty, who breaks down film like no other. We did a special podcast with him. We're going to have to get him back on soon. He's great. So he's Cameron Smith. And then Matt Smith, I've known him since high school. He's also from Spartanburg. He's on Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut some. And he is our new co-host of Four Quarter Friday, our high school sports show. They have the JL Mann Athletic Director on today. And also David Shelton from the Charleston Post and Courier will join them. So if you love high school sports, check out Four Quarter Friday. Follow them on Instagram and X. And thank you for the continued follows at Gamecock Show on X. I see a lot of folks have followed. I'm just asking to follow. It's free if you do that on X. And then Phil and I will be along with the late night Gamecock, Matt Anderson, like I said earlier. Sports Talk tonight with Phil Kornblut. Tune in, stream that live on the Chief Sports app. You can download that for free on the Apple Store or Google Play. Also, Phil, it's good to listen to that show. Number one, it's iconic. Number two, things change so quick with the portal and everything, with news. And the portal closes today, tonight. You can still say, I'm getting in the portal to your school and then not officially be in for a couple of days. And you got the national championship teams and all that. However, it is a deadline tonight. So could there be some activity? My point is, listen to Phil, 6 to 8, Kornblut. And his crew. It's on the Chief Sports app. All right, folks. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the morning show and the show later today. Also going to be on with Chuck Oliver in Atlanta during that time. So I've got to talk a lot. So I better shut up and get out of here. All right, folks. Holla.